Good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Steve. Welcome to our service this morning. We invite you to stay with us for communion. If you're watching with us at home, welcome to you. And if you have a cookie and a sip of juice or something that you could receive communion with us, or if you have grape juice and a wafer, that'd be even better. So welcome to you, and you can stay with us and join us. Father, thank you for the word. The entrance of your word brings us light. Your light shines in our heart. We are illuminated by your Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. You are welcome in this place. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, today, I could preach this every Sunday and Wednesday for the rest of time, but one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible that I get to the privilege to share with you is from Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. And we could read the easy-to-read versions, but I'm a King James fan, and so I start always with King James. And the Bible says through the prophet Jeremiah, "Is not my word like fire?" God is saying to us, "Is not my word like fire?" And so God is a consuming fire. That's what the New Testament says. And so we know that the closer we get to God, that it's consuming up the chaff and the carnality and the worldliness and the drugs and the alcohol and the sexual perversions and all these things. And they're being consumed the closer we get to God. So what's the solution? Get close to God. Draw near to me, God said, and I will draw near to you. And so the process of learning how to draw near to God, and that's wonderful believers in this church, they've learned over the years of time and they've developed a relationship with God to where they draw near, and there are some outstanding, faithful, diligent Christians in our midst right now. And so if you're struggling, we all were there when we made the choice to accept Christ. I mean, we were who we were, and now we are who we are because of Christ Jesus. He's washed us in His blood, and He's cleansed us from our sin, and He's put a robe on our back, and a ring on our finger, and He's killed the fatted calf. What is the purpose of killing the fatted calf? It's just a saying. It's a, the robe on your back, it's a robe of righteousness, and the ring on your finger is just royalty, and the fatted calf is a celebration. Well, how do Christians a lot of times celebrate? With a banquet, a feast, a barbecue, hallelujah. Modern days, we love all of us, hopefully. We love barbecue, yeah. We won't go there. All right, so is not my word as fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Now, most Christians don't want the hammer, but you get to a place where, all right, God, let's take the next step. And the next step is to hammer something that needs to be hammered. Okay? I mean, we can walk in joy, hallelujah. We can walk in peace. We can walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, joy. We can walk in joy. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We get to walk in those. But after a while, there's this dissatisfaction with same old of who I used to be. And we know that the Bible says, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. But there's still some fruit of the old person. And now that I'm closer to God, now that I'm walking in the Spirit, now that I'm a doer of the Word, and now that I'm seeking Him through the Bible, I don't seek Him through what the world says. They don't know God. They know the world. The world cannot tell you about God. Come to church, a good church, a Bible-believing church. I'm not saying that we're the greatest, but we do believe the Bible. And the Bible is the Word of God. And He says, is not my word like fire? Yeah, baby, give it to me strong, Lord. I want the fire. Fire for what? I want it to burn up the chaff in my life. I'm sick of sin. I'm sick of failing. I'm sick of being a coward. I'm sick of being, you know, and I ain't no coward, man. Let me just say this. But there's cowardice in all of us that needs to be burned out. And the reason you burn out the cowardice is that you can stand up. So that in front of your coworkers, you can stand up. In front of your mom and your dad and your sisters and your brothers and your aunts and uncles, you can stand up. So that when you go into the store or you go somewhere, you can stand up. Stand up, what does that mean? It just means not be ashamed of the gospel. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Just means to the Old Testament and New Testament. It means that those of us who are born again, thank you, God, that you have bought us with a price. We're bought with a price. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'm born from above. I'm born in the Spirit. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so thank you, God, that I can get strong. I can get strong. You know what? Man, if I could freely criticize, let's just say if I could, I do criticize myself. Wishy-washy, carnal, lazy, spiritually sluggishness are worthy of being dealt with. Didn't I put that softly? I'm talking about myself. I'm not talking about you. But if the shoe fits, you know, we need to deal with us. And the Bible talks about the washing of water.
By the word.
That side all knows it. Everybody say it. Washing of water.
By the word.
Washing of water.
By the word.
Man, wash me, Lord. Hey. Jeremiah said, is not my word as fire, says the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. What's the rock? Okay, if our spirit, when we accept Christ, our spirit is born again. Do you realize there's a part of you that's perfect? Your spirit is perfect. It's sealed. Till the day of redemption, it's sealed. Therefore, the imperfections of your flesh and your mind, you still got to deal with those. And so, but your spirit is renewed day by day by the word of God. And so that's why we encourage everybody to find a scripture every day. Every day. Somebody goes, well, hey, don't I go to church on Sunday? Isn't that enough for religion for my life? It's not religion.
Right.
It's not religion. Religion is once a week or once a month or once in a while. That's religion. The Vikings aren't playing today. The Wild aren't playing today. The Twins aren't playing today. Maybe I'll go to church. The Timberwolves aren't playing today. Maybe I'll go to church. That's carnal. I love the Timberwolves. I love the Twins. I love the Wild. They're out. Love the Vikings. Love NFL. But I love Jesus Christ. I love God the Father. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the Word of God. I love the church. I love the saints. And I choose, my choices are, I put them above my natural desires, wants, needs, whatever. And I bring my thoughts captive. It's easy to think about the NFL draft. If you knew me, I would be studying the NFL draft every day of the week, and I'd be figuring out what's my first round draft choice going to be and who's going to go first in the draft and all that stuff. And then I'd start picking players for the team, and I'd build myself an NFL team, and we'd be great, and we'd win the Super Bowl, right? But I don't, because there's discipline of I don't surrender to everything I want. And I try and surrender to what I need. And I need first place in life is to spend time with God, to spend time in His Word, and to bow my head and to give thanks and praise. Thanks and praise. Do you know that if you start your prayer time with thanks and praise, thank you, Lord, I praise you. If you start your fellowship with God with thanks and praise, man, I'm telling you something, it's just enter His courts. It's a psalm, but it says enter His courts with thanksgiving No, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And it says, be thankful to him. That's a psalm. And, you know, why was David so famous? Why is David eternally famous? I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to bow my knees to Jesus Christ. I'm going to bow my knees to the Father. And I'm going to bow my knees to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to shake David's hand. He's alive. He's in heaven. Apostle Paul. I'm going to shake his hand. I'm going to give him a hug. Because he wrote almost all the New Testament. Thank you, Apostle Paul. And Peter. Yo, Peter, what's up? Give him a hug too. I got eternity. Thousands upon thousands of years to shake hands and give hugs. So I can shake every single person's hand that's ever lived. It might take 10,000 years to meet everybody. Who cares? There's no time limit for heaven. It's eternity. I'm going there. You're going there. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that he died on the cross for you, if you believe in the shed blood of Jesus Christ that washed away your sins, if you have God, Jesus Christ, the Lord, Savior, Holy Spirit in your heart, then you're going to be there for eternity. And we're going to rejoice and we're going to, you know, there's going to be so many cool things. Man, do you want to, there's a channel where it shows you stuff that's going on the moon. Would you like to see what's on the moon? Would you like to see what's on Mars? Would you like to go out to the extent of Pluto? Would you like to go outside of our solar system? Would you like to see what's on the other side of the universe? You know what I think is on the other side of the earth, in my opinion? Another place that worships God. North, south, east, west, up, down, inside, outside, wherever you go, you're going to find places that worship God. God is eternal. God is absolute. He's all over the universe. Where does the universe end? Some say it just comes back around and boom, there it is. What's outside the universe? We'll find out. Somebody say amen. That's cool. That's fun. That's stuff. I talked about sports. I talked about eternity. I talked about all kinds of good stuff. Somebody should be happy about it. What do you want to talk about? I could talk about fishing. Hey, it's not my word like a fire, says the Lord, like a hammer. Boom, boom, boom. That breaks the rock. What rock? Amplified says it, stubborn resistance. Do you know what? You don't have to break your rock of stubborn resistance. You don't have to. It's called free will. You have the freedom to choose. God gave you the right to choose. And if you got a stubborn rock in your brain or a stubborn rock in your heart or a stubborn rock in your life or a stubborn rock in your job or your life or your whatever you do, you know what? God doesn't force anyone to change. He gives you the option. He gives you the tools, the means. He gives you his word. Is not my word like fire? Is it not a hammer? He gives you his word to chip away, chip away, chip away. Everybody's got a list. If you don't have a list of things that need to change, then when we get to January 1st or December 30th or whatever it is, and you make your list of New Year's resolutions, and your New Year's resolutions are, what do I need to do to be a better person or to have a better year or to prosper and be in health? You know what the way to prosper and be in health is? Get in the Word. The Bible says that you can prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So as my soul, As I'm putting spiritual things first, that makes my soul to prosper. And when my soul prospers, my life will begin to prosper. And it will translate out into the decisions I make, what I do with my money, and where I go, and who I'm with, and all those things. And so the word works. The word, if you know, I have compassion for gangsters, gangbangers. I have compassion for people of the streets. I grew up in South Minneapolis on Chicago and 35th Street, and from there to Lake Street, we ran around, and we did everything to be bad. Get on down with your bad self, dude, yeah, you know. So we did everything we could, you know, fighting, chasing, loving, hating. And then I was raised in a Christian home, though. So we're being raised in a Christian home, and you know Jesus loves you, and this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. I know that, all that stuff. I learned that from good Bible Baptist teaching. And so now I'm running from it. I'm trying to be the best I can in the world. But I always knew God loved me. I always knew that I need Jesus. I believed in Jesus. Jesus, I know you're there. Father, I know you're God. I know that you're Father, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. I know that your Bible's truth. I know it. But, man, God, I'm hanging out with my brothers. I want to just have fun. But there was this burning on the inside of me. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, to desire the sincere milk of the word that I may grow, to be delivered from the power of darkness and to be translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, to be translated into the kingdom, to go from carnal street punk into, you know, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Someone is hearing me and you're going, I just don't know how to surrender. Well, you got to have the goal. You got to set the goal. And you set the goal by saying, there's nothing in this world more important than being a child of God, being surrendered to Jesus Christ, to put God first place. And then you begin to go, well, how do I get there? And the scripture tells you so many things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And that if I surrender, he'll make me the head and not the tail. He'll put me above and not beneath. And he'll bless me in the city, and he'll bless me at home, and he'll bless me. I believe that God will bless you if you're here or if you're watching. I believe God will bless you. I believe he's super abundantly above all we could ask or think according to the power that's at work within us. I believe that he's a great, great God. I've learned it in my days of running from him. I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me, son, come home. It wasn't go back to my mom and dad. It wasn't go back to my sisters and brothers. It wasn't go back to my family. It was come back to Christ. Surrender. You know what it means. I said, yes, sir, I do know what it means. And sir, I love you, but I'm having fun. And so he said, well, let's examine your fun. Is it fun? Is this fun? Is that fun? And you take the self-evaluation, all of a sudden, you be real with yourself, and you go, it's not. It's not worth it. I know what's worth it. I want to be in the family of God. Amen. All right, so is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock. The rock sometimes is bung, 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 because we get rock-headed. And, you know, I'm not mocking anybody or criticizing anybody, but we are stubborn sometimes. All right, the word fire. It says, is not my word like fire? Fire in the Bible is found 549 times in this King James Version. And it's in 506 versions. So what? Well, because it's fire. God's word is fire. Is not my word fire? The word sword. It occurs 424 times in 384 verses. It's called the sword of the Spirit. What is the one of the most powerful things in the universe? The sword of the Spirit. What do I need? So I need the sword of the Spirit. The word rock occurs 119 times in 106 verses. Why do I care about rocks? Because Jesus is the rock of my salvation. The word shield occurs 27 times. Why do I need a shield? The Bible says, take the shield of faith wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, if we're going to talk about the shield and we're talking about the sword, then I need a helmet of salvation. I need a breastplate of righteousness. I need my loins girded about with truth. Have my feet shod with preparation of gospel peace. Take that sword of the Spirit. You get a little feisty, and you got the shield. You know, my shields, the Roman shields, man, some of them were them just the full-size shields. And you could, they fire those arrows, you know, and they get behind them things, and boom, 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 and that whole shield is just protecting you. And then as soon as you run out of those arrows, then you go out and you pull your sword. And that's old-fashioned stuff, right? But, you know, modern warfare, you know, you think about soldiers, praise God, pray for our soldiers, pray for our military, pray. Whether you agree or not, pray for people, man. Those are human beings that are you know, stepping out in front lines where so you don't have to. Nobody's invading our city. If they did, you know, how many of us would stand up? You know, that's so we got to support, you know, we got to support some things that people are trying to disrespect. Dis. Well, dis you, man. All right, somebody didn't like that. So I'm not dissing you. All right, so the word hammer, of course, seven times. Five words that all define the word of the living God and the Lord himself. Psalms 3:3 continues to in here, and it says, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me and the glory of the lifter of my head." God is our shield for protection for those who trust and believe him. So if I trust and believe, it's all based on faith. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith doesn't come from you deciding that you have faith. If you decide, you come to me and say, "I have faith," and I say, "Well, quote a scripture to me." And you go, "I can't." I say, "Why?" Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. It's a contradiction. You need to know the Bible. You need to know the word. You need to study the word. You need to spend some time in the word every day. Who are you to tell me what I need? I'm telling you what you need to be successful as a Christian, and I want people to quit failing. So many people fail. How do you know I'm failing? Because we all fail. We're not perfect. I want to grow up into Christ in all things because children continually fail. And we love them. We clean them up and we wipe their diapers and we wipe their butts and we do that with babies, you know. But at some point they grow up and now we expect them to start learning, growing. And pretty soon they're making decisions. That's the same as in Christianity. The Bible calls it, says, growing up into Christ in all things, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of him. Increasing. Didn't anybody know that verse? Well, I mean, you know what that does? That's just a challenge. That's one of the most basic verses there are in Christianity. Growing up into Christ in all things, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of him. Okay, all right, let me challenge everybody right now. Let me pick on everybody right now. Increasing in the knowledge of him. Weigh your desire to increase in the knowledge of him. And here's why I want to always increase in the knowledge of him. Because there I go again. Somewhere along the line, I got eternally minded. I believe in eternity. And I believe eternity is forever. And if eternity is forever, then I believe that if God has rewards for faithful life on earth, and it defines your life or your existence for eternity, guess what? Just call me Commander Steve. I'm not aspiring to be a commander. Frankly, I don't care. But I do want to do what God wants me to do. Because if I do what God wants me to do here, he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And then there are rewards associated with it. And rewards in a lot of cases are authority. Authority. And frankly, authority has never really rung my bell. Yet, if the Bible says that authority is a reward in eternity, then I'll take what's being offered. I'll take because I know that it's exceeding abundantly above all I could ask or think. Think about that. The way you think right now, Eternity is exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. How far above? God won't show us ahead of time because he wants you to take it by faith. Faith pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That should be the word of the day. I want some faith because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Lord, help my faith. Who said it in the Bible? Somebody said when Jesus walked by, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Probably 90%, 99% of the church could probably cry that out and it would be an honest statement. Then there's a remnant of believers who are sold out and understand the plans of God and understand some of the plans of God that's been revealed, obviously. They get a smidge. We get a smidge of the picture. We get a smidge of a glimpse. We get a smidge. I don't like the word smidge, but a fraction or something. But I see, oh, you know, Pastor Steve, you're so eternally minded, you're no earthly good. Maybe that's why I get to preach the gospel, because I am eternally minded, that I have that goal in mind, that it's the earth isn't everything, the world isn't everything, my flesh isn't everything, satisfy me isn't everything, help me, give me, teach me, show me, I want more. You know what? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, humility says, dude, it's not about you. That's probably the simplest statement we could say right now. It's not about you. And then you take it to yourself and you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, dude, it's not about you. Oh, well, then who's it about? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I don't even know if I knew those words, but I just said them right now, and I think they're close. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, so trust and believe that God is your shield, your sword, your rock, your hammer, and your fire, shield for protection, sword for battle, hammer against stubborn resistance. Hammer against stubborn resistance. We all have stubborn resistance. In prayer, break it, bind it, burn it, smash it, slice it to pieces by faith in his holy word. Prayer works. The word works. I testify today that the word works. When you've got the word, then prayer works. Some people put prayer as numero uno. I'm not in your business here, but I put the word first because the word is the sword of the Spirit. It's the power of God, and it's anointed. Prayer is anointed. Prayer is incredibly important. Going back to Jeremiah, it's not my word of fire, it's not like a hammer that breaks the rock. The New Living Translation does not my word burn like fire. There it is, fire. Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock in pieces? New English Translation, NET, my message is like fire that purges dross. You know, when we had examined ourselves, we all got dross. I mean, you could say, well, I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. But you still got dross. If you didn't have dross, you'd be perfect. And you ain't perfect. The only way we're perfect is in Christ, in him, in whom. In him we have to do. In him we live and move and have our being. Is not my message like fire that purges dross, like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Old Amplified Version. Is not my word like fire that consumes all that cannot endure the test? Not people. All that cannot endure the test in your life. Amplified's challenging, man. It says, hey, you know what? The fire needs to consume all that cannot endure the test. Endure what test? Endure the test of righteousness, holiness, Righteousness and holiness, man, I just want to be saved. I just want to go to heaven. I don't care about righteousness and holiness. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Those things he's given you that you have, but if you don't even recognize it, how can you walk in it? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Or the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Well, you can have the fruit of the Spirit, or you can have the other four, or you can have it all. I want to grow up into Christ in all things, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What am I here for? Why am I standing here? Because some of you think I'm a clown. Like it's a clown show. And I'm the clown. And you know what I think of you? I can call worse than that. I had people get in my face, man. How dare you? You know who gets in your face the most? Religion. Because how dare you tell me how I should live as a Christian? I'm not. I'm suggesting how to take it up a notch. Kick it up a notch, Emeril Lagasse. Well, I don't want to go up a notch. I'm satisfied to be saved. Well, good for you then. Praise God. Thank you for being saved. But eternity compared to now, that's it. It's over. Gone. And then the real life happens. How do you get there? Do you go somewhere, or is it just cross over into? Those are great questions to get answers to. Jesus is the rock, capital R. Why does the hammer break the rock? It breaks small rocks, small R's, of stubbornness and resistance. Exodus 33:21, the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me that thou shalt stand upon the rock." He's talking to Moses. He said, "There's a place in me where you stand on the rock." We stand on the rock of ages, but we break the rock of resistance in our own life with the hammer of God's word. Christians, I'm not, you know what I'd really like to do? I'd like to shake your hands, give you a hug, and just love you. I don't want to be hammering you with the hammer. But I believe each of us individually must take the hammer ourselves and smash our past. Your past needs to be smashed. Your will, bang, boy, that's a word that is, that's a four-letter word. How dare you talk about my will? Smash it with God's hammer. My will, not my will be done, but thine be done. Jesus is on the cross, and he's just beat to a pulp and suffering. And man, you're God. Why don't you just get down and defeat all these people, man? And he's saying, not my will, but his be done. And he stayed there, and he died. And when he died, the Bible says, he who ascended. Now, this is controversial, but I got the word on it. He who ascended also descended into the heart of the earth. And then, there's a whole other chapter. Because was it over? Or was it not over? And some people say, it was over. And he just collected Abraham's bosom, and he took everybody to heaven. He led captivity captive to heaven. And others say, 3 days and three nights. Wouldn't take my Savior 3 days and nights to collect Abraham's bosom. Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, could go down into center earth, kick the snot out of Satan in one punch, grab all of the righteous compartment of heaven, or righteous compartment of hell, and go right to heaven. But he was 3 days and three nights there, and you have to consider what he was doing there. And when you admit that he was there for me. Ugh. That's reality. That he went there so I don't have to. And now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible says to be absent from my body is to be present with the Lord. I go directly to glory. I get to Pasco. I do collect. What do I collect? I collect eternal life. I collect the favor of heaven. I join the family. I'm in the family now. We're in the family now. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you're in the family now. But you get to meet everybody. And you know, this came to mind, so I'm going to tell you about it. I love precious moments. We have precious moments in our home. That's heaven to me. Everybody can have, you have your own idea of heaven because you don't, if you haven't seen it. And I see precious moments, paintings on my wall. And I go, oh man, is that awesome. We're like little children in his presence. And heaven has got these giant, tall, whatever the buildings, you know, and they got beautiful scenery and these cute little kids with big heads. And, you know, it's just so peaceful to stare at precious moments for me. Somebody's going, what a cheesy thing to think about in church. No, hey, man, whatever it takes for you to enter into the presence, to enter into the peace of God, the presence of God, the joy of the Lord, and to enjoy your faith. Because it's not, you know, you and I know it's not always a bowl of cherries, is it? I don't know, whatever the thing is. It's not always a bowl of cherries. In Exodus 33:21, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. We stand on the rock because the rock is eternal, the rock of ages, firm, steady, and unshakable. Going back to God's word, it's a fire that burns up chaff, refuse, waste, and the worthless things of life. Why is God's word a hammer? It breaks our own stubborn resistance and enemy walls. Why is the word a sword? It cuts to the heart of the matter. It's the sword of the spirit. Why is the word a rock? People break themselves against it, but God doesn't break. You can't make God do anything. I can't make him do anything. Lord, I have faith. I have faith greater than a mustard seed. If you had faith as a mustard seed, you might say to this mountain, be thou removed, be plucked up by the roots, and be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Not the mountain, the tree, but whatever. Both, there's two of them, right? It should obey you, right? I have faith, Lord. Yeah, he's given to each of us. You know why you can say I have faith? He's given to each of us among you the measure of faith. So don't ever say, Lord, I just don't have faith. God gave you a measure of faith, and what you do with the measure of faith is what creates. You have the creative ability that God gave you through that faith he gave you. He said, the Bible says he's dealt to everyone among us a measure of faith. So if God gave you a measure of faith, and I use that faith, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do I hope for? Change, victory, betterment, healing, victory, restored relationships. Obviously, there's not a relationship that needs restoring, but restored relationships, holiness, righteousness, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So one of the simplest things that you could use your faith for is to get the fruit of the Spirit so that I could be a better Christian. And so most people take their measure of faith and they don't try and be a better Christian with it. They use it for get me some stuff. Get me this. Get me that. Get me healed. Get me prosperity. Get me, I love prosperity. I love healing. I love victory. Get me some victory. But you take that faith and you put it in the Word of God. And it grows. And it develops. And it gets stronger and stronger as you increase in the knowledge of Him. You see, every word in the Bible is increasing in the knowledge of Him. Jesus is the Word of God. So this entire Bible, find what you want. Increase in the knowledge of God. Put the Word first. Search the scriptures. Jesus, what did Jesus say to them? Search the scriptures. He said to the Pharisees, he says, search the scriptures because you think in there you have eternal life. He says, but I'm here. I'm eternal life. You were waiting and now I'm here and you reject me. And well, that's just rejection. How much rejection of God do we all subject him to? We admit it, man. I bow my head and I go, wow, Lord, man. Somebody doesn't want to hear this word. Three-letter word. Sin. If we take it seriously, sin is a rejection of God. Yeah, but we all sin. Of course we do. And we do it a lot. Yeah, we do. So we're rejecting God a lot. But you know what? If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Father, I've sinned, forgive me. Steve, how many times have you done that? A billion in my life. How many times have you sinned? A billion in my life. How many times has God forgiven me? A billion in my life. You can't touch a billion. Google. That's what we thought back in the days when I was growing up was the number that doesn't have any substance, just Google. Now it means Google. But how many times have you sinned, Steve? Google. So I'm the chiefest sinner among you. But you know who I am? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been bought with a price. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is, he's made me the head and not the tail. He's put me above and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. My sins have been washed away. They've been washed in the blood. I'm a new creation. A new creation? Every time I admit my sin, am I reborn? No, I was born again. I was born again on the day I accepted Christ as my Savior. Am I kicked out of heaven every time I sin? Am I kicked out of the family? Am I kicked out of the church? Am I no longer? No, of course not. You just got a few stains on your shirt. You ever have stains on your shirt and not know it? Oh, I hate that. You know, barbecue sauce, man. I'm a fan of barbecue sauce. Not know that you got a stain. Well, what does that mean spiritually? Sometimes we drop barbecue sauce on ourselves and the only way to get it off is, Father, forgive me. I got barbecue sauce on my, I've stained myself with barbecue sauce. Please forgive me. And he does. Old things pass away. Behold, all things new. Where are the righteousness of God in Christ? Now I'm just going to go forward and be better. I'm going to be careful not to slop barbecue sauce on myself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, from the Amplified, it says, all of them drank from the same spiritual drink. They were all drinking from a spiritual rock, which followed them, and the rock was Christ. So there's a lot in that verse that probably we won't go there, but one of the most important names for Jesus is he's the rock of our salvation. And Isaiah 26, 4 says, trust confidently in the Lord forever. He is your fortress, your shield, your banner. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, a rock of ages. The New Living Translation says, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord your God is the eternal rock. And rock is just as hard a substance as most materials. And it was as hard as most solid buildings, including, I mean, obviously iron's a bit stronger, but in Deuteronomy 27:5, And there thou shalt build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. And you shall not lift any iron tool unto them, because human tools would pollute it. God wanted them to build it with rocks. And so there's a message in that, that, you know, human tools are our own efforts to clean things up or straighten things up or to build up our life in God. He wants rocks to be built in his name, and the rock of ages is Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 27:5 says, and there shall you build an altar unto the Lord, an altar of stones. 20:8 says, you shall write upon the stones all the words of the law. God intended the children of God to be blessed, healthy, prosperous, according to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, that these blessings would come on them and overtake them. Deuteronomy 28:1-2 says, if you hearken to the Lord your God, these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. And then he goes into a list of blessed, 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 blessed. So what I'm telling you out of the Old Testament is that God's will was to bless you. God does bless his people. And it isn't about works. It's not about earning any of the blessings. It's about faith. Faith pleases God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So instead of trying to do good things to impress God, get in the word, study the word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So instead of efforts, efforts, and efforts, which efforts, if you put the word first, and you're a diligent person in the word, then there will be fruitful things that you can do to be effective, and they'll be very fruitful, and they'll be very enjoyable, and you'll be pleased with yourself because you just pleased God in them. But putting the word first is more important than works of righteousness. No one gets into heaven through works of righteousness. Why? Because God in the Old Testament says their works are as filthy rags. And now that you're a Christian and you're born again, you're saved, you're going to heaven, your works are filthy rags, but they're not impressing God when you don't put God first place. We all want to please God. If you're a true Christian, we want to please God. I still have time. We have communion this morning. If you hearken to the Lord your God, these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. That's cool. That's great. The blessing of God on his people was to make them stand out in the world. It'd be great if you discovered a cure. It'd be great if you discovered a new element. It'd be great if you won a victory for the kingdom. God wants victorious Christians. God is pleased with victorious Christians. If I'm a failure as a Christian, is God not pleased with me? But he'd be more pleased with you if you start winning. Win the victory. Bible's all about victory. Christianity's about victory. And the simplest place to start is victory over my flesh. You know, I can't build a skyscraper and be defeated in my flesh. I need to win in my flesh. I need to put my flesh under. The Bible says, bring your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ and put your flesh under. Those are the two biggest challenges today for all of you. I said all these things, but the biggest challenge to end today is bring your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ and put your flesh under. And then you'll bring forth fruit into the kingdom. And so as we prepare to receive communion this morning, these are questions that we need to examine our hearts with, because 3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. That's cool. Prosper, be in health. Soul prospers. That's prosperity. Prosperity is when I can live a life pleasing to God. That's spiritual prosperity. When I can, you know, nobody said you need to, we all need to read the Bible. And it'd be great if you memorized scriptures. But every one of us should know one by heart. Every single Christian should know a Bible verse by heart. And then if you know one, learn three. If you know three, learn five, seven, nine, 12, a dozen. That's cool. Because it'll help you. Because then you have seeds growing in your heart. And that those seeds will come forth, some 30, some 60, 100-fold. It grows up into life, the Bible says. It brings forth fruit with patience. All right, so, there's a lot of cool stuff left on my sheets, but I'm going to go ahead and start to wind it down so that we can begin to prepare our hearts for communion this morning. And one of the keys about communion, for those of you that know it, is to examine your own heart and to judge yourself. And that's challenging for everybody, because you might have just blew it. And God says, if you judge yourself, you'll not be judged. If you examine yourself, if you admit, your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's an eternally incredible deal. That if I simply confess my sin out loud, can't I just whisper to God, or can't I just think in my mind? Personally, someone could debate me on it, but I say out loud. And that means you're praying. That means you're talking to God. Father, forgive me for I've sinned. And then I name it. And I thank you that the blood of Jesus washes me and cleanses me from unrighteousness. And I'm restored to fellowship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So that is my way. And hopefully you do it the Bible way, because I believe my way is the Bible way. And we'll all do it the Bible way. And we'll have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Peace is the great, man, I'm going to talk for a minute here. Incredible peace. Peace that passes understanding, ruling and guarding your heart through Jesus Christ our Lord. The peace that passes understanding. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. Peace is so critical in this day we live in. And it can come instantly by, as you prepare to receive communion, and you think about it, and you say, Lord, I want your peace, I want restoration, I want forgiveness, I want to be right with you, Lord. Help me to be right. And God says, okay. And he forgives your sin, and he washes you clean. And then you take communion faithfully. So ushers, why don't you begin to pass out the communion, and Pastor Nancy, come up, and we'll start with our communion today by saying the salvation prayer, because there may be someone watching or someone here that might be new or doesn't know. And so let's say it together, all of you in the church know it. Dear God in heaven, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for me and was raised again from the dead, so that I could have eternal life. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and be my Lord. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I receive forgiveness now. And I receive eternal life. And I thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, as we receive the communion elements, please, ushers, you can begin to pass them out, and we'll wait to receive communion together, and Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves. The message has been a lot about examination. But, you know, even if it's, I dare say this, superficial. Because superficial will lead to examination. Just starting with saying it. God, I examine myself. I examine my heart, I examine my mind, I examine my... what I said, what I did. Father, we examine ourselves as we prepare for communion today. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, which washes us white as snow. And we thank you for the wafer representing the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for me, broken for you, broken for us. Lord, we humble ourselves today. We choose to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. We choose to be willing and obedient so we can eat the good of the land. And most importantly, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We thank you today for this cup of the blood of Jesus and this wafer representing the body of Jesus, which was broken for us as we receive communion together. We give you honor, we give you praise, we give you thanks. We love you, Lord. We love you. And this helps us to see it more clearly. I say this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We all have communion. When he had given thanks, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup after he had supped, saying, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn it over to you. Here comes Pastor Nance.
Praise God. Thanks for being a part of service today. And if you need a Bible, we have Bibles on the bookcase for free. In fact, all the books on the bookcase, you can help yourself. We don't charge for them because we want you to know the Word of God. And if you have an area in your life that you need a little extra help or a little extra knowledge in, check out the library, the bookcase. Take it home, read it, study it, bring it back when you're done. Take your own notes. Don't write the books. Except your Bible. I have scriptures underlined in different colors. I use different colors for different topics so that if I need something quick, I can flip open. If I need to know, if I'm just feeling a little unloved, have you ever felt unloved? All the scriptures on love in my Bible are in red. Healing, orange. I don't know why I picked orange. I just picked orange. How to live right. You know, if you ever have an attitude problem, does anybody ever have to straighten out their own attitude? I got to do that every once in a while. Probably every day, but those are all in purple. Straighten out your attitude scriptures. Prosperity, God meeting my needs, blue. You don't have to do what I do, prayer, praise, worship. Those are all in green. The power of the Holy Spirit, I like the power of the Holy Spirit. That's in yellow because that really stands out. Get some colored pencils. Use a crayon. Highlighters, I will just tell you, they go through the thin pages of Bible, so you don't probably want to use a highlighter in your Bible. But get to know God through his word. Then you know him. and not just some person's opinion or our opinion. Have you ever been wrong? Right? I trust the Word of God more than I trust myself. It is a rock. It's our sure foundation. It's never wrong. Never changes. I like that. God's not going to change. He is a rock. We change. And if we're growing up into Christ, we're going to be more and more conformed to Him. And people will see more and more of Jesus in you. And that's a good thing. Because Jesus is pure love. He was pure patience. He didn't do anything wrong. So the more we conform to His image, we're pure love, we're pure patience, peace in every situation. That's good. And that's what we want. So thank you for being part of the service. We're going to close by receiving this morning's offering. And if you're giving, it's helpful to use an envelope. If you're giving online, that just needs to be done on our website, 3degreeschurch.com. If you're giving by card, there's a place to put that on the envelope and you're here. When we give, we're sowing into the kingdom. And we're saying, God, I'm going to give a part of my resources to you because I love you, I trust you, I honor you. It's one of the ways we honor God is through our giving. But then God is so good. There's so many scriptures that talk about God increasing the things that we sow and blessing us. And one of the ways that we open up, or the way that we open up the avenue for God to work in our finances, is through our giving. And that's just what the Bible says. So we want to be doers of the Bible and do what God says. And then we get to rejoice and thank Him for opening doors for us that no man can shut, for pouring out blessings in our lives that we don't have room enough to receive. It's good to live in kingdom finances, because the world's finances, that can be pretty crazy and not anything that I personally would want to rely on. So, Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to sow into your kingdom. God, we give our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings this morning with a cheerful, glad heart. And I thank you, Father, for multiplying the seeds sown. Thank you, Father, for meeting the needs of every person, multiplying their resources. Lord, that they would have more than enough left over to continue the process. We worship you and we honor you with our offerings this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.